right. Well, before I get into the word, I have a quick thing to talk about. The season is coming up of change, of getting in September, of ministry starting up. And one of those ministries we have is Kidditz Ministry. So if you have in your heart, not a specific skill with kids or anything, because I know sometimes it can be intimidating working with kids and scary, but if you have in your heart a desire to disciple the younger ones in a congregation, I encourage you, come talk to me, because we have a lot of ways it looks like. We have a lot of ways that happens. We have people that just make pancakes for the kids. We can always use prayer. I will always take people to pray for kids' ministry and pray for our volunteers. We also need teachers. We need helpers. We need people in nursery. We need people in preschool. And so if you have at all in your heart, I encourage you over the next couple weeks as we get into September, just somewhere, a desire to disciple kids. That's what we do. That's what we're there for. And that's what I want to see happen in kids ministry. So So reach out to me. I encourage you guys, though. It's one of the things happening. It's easy to forget because, you know, they all go downstairs as soon as we gather and we start speaking and all that. But downstairs, our goal is to bring kids to Jesus. And to me, at least, it's one of the most valuable things you can do. So I know it's not for everyone, but you don't need to have a specific skill. You don't need to be the perfect person in this or that. You need to come with a desire for God to be known. And I guarantee God will use that to reach kids at Hillside. So just a little pitch, just a little throw out there. Seasons changing. Before we get into the word, let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for this church. I thank you that we don't go on our own, but we go with you beside us, and that you've made us this body. And as we come into what's, for many people, a transition period into September, I pray that wherever we are, you would show us what the next step is for us. Well, stepping into a new place, taking a break from something, just getting through, I pray that we would all be able to start this season with you by our side, and you being the one who leads us. Please guide us in your word today. Open our hearts to what you have for us. Give us ears to hear the word. And I pray that you, in your Holy Spirit, would move this morning in your name. Amen. All right. If you know me relatively well, you probably know that I am a reader. I like my books. I have a lot of shirts for the books I like. So if you see me usually outside of a Sunday, I'll have those shirts on. And one of my shirts has a book on it that's one of my favorites. It's Pilgrim's Progress, written by John Bunyan. It's written quite a long time ago, and it's not for everyone because it's allegory. So if you don't like things that are a little too on the nose, you'll have people named Hopeful and Bad Religion. That's their name. So it's not for everyone. Like, someone just doesn't go through the swamp. They go through the swamp of despair, and they climb the mountain of difficulty. But I love it, and it's a classic. It's one of the most read books of all time. And to me, I love it because it's such a good picture. I really, outside of the Bible, I don't know a better picture of what this life is of following Jesus, where we have both this incredible difficulty and challenge that comes with walking after Jesus. Following Jesus means we have more resistance here, and we go through there, and there's darkness, and yet you have this continual picture of a light and a goodness and rest that surpasses the difficulty and the hardship. Christian is the main character, and he's a stand-in for all of us. It's his name. And he's called out of the city that has this impending doom, and he goes on this journey, and it follows him. And he comes through things like the swamp of despair. But in the despair, he comes out of it, and you have these moments of rest, and God is with it. And by the time you get to the end, you have swamps of despair, he climbs up mountains of difficulty, he trudges through valleys of the shadow of the death, but whenever he gets to the end and he gets to the point, he gets to the peak, and there's someone named Hopeful there to supply him and help him and encourage him, or a companion comes along faithful, or he gets to the wicker gate, which is where he finally meets Jesus. You see, it was worth it, it was good, and God is there, and he gave him what he needed to get it through. And as difficult as these things are and these things we go through, God is there and he is with you. And it's kind of hard to just say, but there are these pictures that it paints of someone going through the life and the ups and the downs, and you see it is such a better life than the one before. And the image at the very end is something called the celestial city. That's reaching God. That's reaching heaven. That's reaching the new life. And when he finally enters those gates, there's such a joy and such a freedom and such a hope that comes. And you say, man, all these hardships happened, but it was worth it and it was good and God was there. I love this book because it shows all these pictures of what we go through. We have the heights and we have the depths. And it's kind of similar to what we have in the Psalms. We're starting a series going through the Psalms just quickly before we get into September in a new big series. And we're going to be looking at a few Psalms. And I love Psalms because there's a Psalm for every place you are on that journey, in every point. If you are in the depths of darkness, things are miserable, you feel like everyone's out against you, there's a Psalm for you to pray. If you feel like, man, God is good, he's been there, he is with me, everything is going as it should, I see God's mercy and his grace, there's a Psalm for you there. If you feel distant and cold and just kind of mundane, you can't see things, there's a Psalm for you to pray. Wherever you are, in heights and depths, in betweens, looking forward, looking back, and where you are, there's this amazing book in the Bible where there's all these Psalms, and whatever state you are, there's something you have to pray. And it's such a beautiful book. Now, there's the ups and downs and everything, and it's sometimes helpful when you go into a specific psalm to look and ask, okay, what point on that journey is it there? Is it in the middle of a difficulty? Is it at the top end? Is it right after? Is it when things are good and God's liberated? Is it when you're with companions? Is it when you feel alone? And for this psalm, where I've placed it, what I've titled it is, I'm titling it Out of a Valley. We're going to turn in a second to Psalm 30. And to get your bearings, where I think we are in the journey is we've just come out of a valley. We've been walking, we've been trudging, we've been enduring, and we just came out. And this psalm, above all, is really what to do when you're in that place. And it's a psalm where you turn and you look back, and you actually take stock. And it's so important to do that. Derwin earlier talked about a heart check. And if we forget to do that, it's so easy to forget God and to end right back into that valley we just came out of. But if we take a second and look back, we see it transforms our vision, it transforms our lives, and it helps us remember, proclaim, and be encouraged to go forward into the next step. So the psalm I have today is Psalm 30. If you have a Bible, I encourage you to open it. And for all of us, if you're able, I invite you to stand as we read God's word, as I walk through this passage with us. So I have Psalm 30 here. I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead and you spared me from going down into the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you his faithful people. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Lord, when you favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. What is gained if I am silenced? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth, and you clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever. Amen. You can have a seat. As I said earlier, the title I picked for this is Out of the Valley. I feel like this psalm is really speaking when you've just come out. You're on the cusp. You've come out, but you're not, you're just on the edge. You just came out, and we're looking back now at what just happened, what we just went through, and what God was for us. And it's a bit of a retrospective. So it's kind of working backwards in time, actually. We're starting out looking back and reflecting, and then we're going to, as we go through the passage, actually get closer and closer to actually into the valley, and then again, we're going to look at God bringing us out. It's kind of a rewind in time and a rewind of going through what happened and a reflection on what happened in the past. So let's look back, but first, to start, the very beginning, before any of the reflection takes place, the words are this: I will exalt you, Lord. Before any of the reflection, before we get into trying to process anything, before we get into jumping to any conclusions or even anything that happened, the author here is saying, I'm going to exalt you. I'm going to lift you up. I am going to praise you. I think this is really important and really helpful. It's great because it gets straight to the point. We're going to see again and again he comes back to this praise, praise, praise. It comes up in four different verses here. It's kind of the command. It's kind of what we're said to do. But before we get into it, before we do it, the frame for everything is praise God. This is a good thing. Praising God, it doesn't just, it's the right response, right? When we've come out of it, it's the right response. But it also sets our perspective. It also puts things in the right place. Praise is what we naturally should be doing whenever something happens. If you watch Star Wars and the Death Star exploded and the next scene was someone working in a 9-to-5, that would be weird. That wouldn't make sense. That's not the right response. No, the Death Star's gone. Darth Vader's gone. The Emperor's gone. Everyone's celebrating. That's what we should do. When things happen, praise God. That's the right response. Right? That's what we should do. If you go to the Netherlands ever, you travel there, they have a bit of a reputation for this, but in the Netherlands, they have a lot of graves set out of people who died in the First or the Second World War. And you'll go to these sites, and everywhere you go, there will be flowers on those graves. All of them are Canadian graves because it was the Canadians that went through that part of the war. And you'll see everywhere you go, no matter where, the graves are kept pristine, and there's flowers there because I think it's about 75 years ago, thousands and thousands of Canadians went through and gave their lives to free them from that regime. And so what they do is today is all the school kids, they go out, and part of what they do as schools and as kids is they go and they remember that, and they put flowers in all the graves of the soldiers that passed away in that war. That's the first thing we do is we praise, because that's just the right response. People gave their lives, let's do that. Rulin, she's been serving, let's give her flowers and say thank you. God, he saved me. Take a second, praise him. He is good. God's done so much for me and for you and for us. Hallelujah. But it also puts us in the right mindset. One of the, if you feel anxious, one of the main things they'll tell you to do is do some breathing exercises, right? So if you're really stressed, really everything's all over the place, one of the major things, it's not a magic fix, what they'll do is slow down, breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. And it's not going to guarantee that your anxiety just goes away like that, but when you do something like that, no matter what's going on in your head, whatever is going around behind you, it tells your body things are okay, and it kind of helps set things right. Praise also does that for us. Things are going on, things have been crazy, especially coming out of like a disaster and a lot of things going on. It's easy just to jump into the next thing, but if we take a second and praise God, just like how breathing slowly brings our body kind of in line with being calm, praising God literally forms us and helps us shift into a mindset of, man, God is someone to be praised. God is good. If we just jump forward, it's really easy to forget what he did. But if we take a second and we look and we remember and we praise him, we're going to be looking at things through God being someone who saves. And that is a much better way to go through whatever the next step is, whether it's a high or a low. So, it's all to say, and this is, the psalmist is going to touch a few times on this throughout the thing, but the first thing he says is, I will exalt you, Lord, wherever you are, but especially if you've just gone through a lot, stop, praise him. First is a good thing, but second, it helps put everything right and helps you move forward the right way into the next thing. The psalmist continues, and he starts telling the things that God did. He didn't let the enemies gloat over them. Lord, my God, I called for help and you healed me. Lord, you brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Now we're looking back at what happened. Taking a second to praise. Now he's looking back, and man, God's grace has been so good. God's salvation has been deep. This isn't something that is just, God, you helped me out, you know, I lost my keys and then I found them after I prayed. Although God, like, I'm not saying that's actually necessarily a bad thing, but this is a reminder that God's grace goes deep. It reaches far. The words here is going down from the realm of the dead, from Sheol, from the pit. It's not just God, you were able to save me from these little things. God was able to bring you down from the realm of the dead, from hell. That's good news, because if you're there, remember, no matter how deep you are, God can bring you out. God has done that. If you believed in Jesus, God literally went and brought us from the realm of the dead and gives us his promise of life. And this, I really think, is just a time to remind yourself, no matter how deep you go, God can and will deliver you. So the psalmist, he praises God, he looks back at the depth of God's grace, and he continues again. He says, God, I praise you, sing the praises of the Lord, you his faithful people, praise his holy name. Again, praise him. You're going to see every section is just bordered by praise God, praise God, praise God. And then he moves on, and we get a bit of perspective. We've looked at the valley, and now we're going to take it, and we're kind of going to put what happened in the valley into perspective. The psalmist says this, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. It's easy in our world, I think, quite naturally, to think that it's the hard things that's the rule, and it's the good things that are the exception. I work 50 weeks out of the year, and I break for two. You know, I get my 2 weeks of vacation. I work all day, and I only have an hour to rest. You open your headlines, and I almost guarantee you that there's going to be a lot more dark things coming on there than light. But with God, we have a different arithmetic, a different way of the world working. Everything's flipped upside down. We see here, with God in the picture, it's the favor that outlasts it, and it's the hardships that are the exception, and it's the grace that's the rule. When you talk about rest, we have Sabbath, and it's only one day out of the week. But if you look at God's real vision for Sabbath, it's forever. It's the working that's temporary. It's the working that lasts for a time, but it's the Sabbath that's going to go on forever. God's, there are difficult things in this world. There are challenges, and some of those go on for our lifetime. But even that, the hardships are the exception with God, and the grace and the mercy and the comfort is the rule and the part that goes on forever. I had a real deep reminder of this past June on Father's Day, because a week and a bit before then, my cousin had passed away suddenly. He was 20 years old. They don't know why. Just passed away like that. And when I could make it out was Father's Day. And like, you want to see like the depth of the mourning? man, the first Father's Day without their son, seeing my uncle there, just mourning his son, that's hard. I don't know a pit deeper. And what we say here, what I'm saying today, the psalm, it's not going to make things get easy. If you're in the hardship, this probably isn't the full psalm for you, because you're not always at a point where you can see the light, but you can be at a point where you can have hope and you can get through. And there were a lot of tears, but again and again, my uncle was repeating these words. He said it to me at least so many times. Brothers and sisters, it's from 1 Thessalonians 4:13. We do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. We have a different arithmetic. His son was lost, but not without hope. And it didn't mean the mourning went away. It didn't mean the sadness happened. There were plenty of tears, and there still will be. And honestly, until we're on the other side of this life, that's never fully going to go away. Grief doesn't just disappear like that. But it is the exception. And that day we're with God, reunited with no more fear of death, that is the rule. His anger lasts a moment. Hardships happen, and the moment might be a lifetime, but his favor will last forever. And my uncle, my aunt, that family, things are hard, but they have hope, and they have a place to look. And you know what? There's this hope where the joy and the goodness is the thing that's going to go on and on. And honestly, there's nothing else that can make it better, right? Yeah. God's favor is good. His grace is good. And we live in a world that really likes to focus on how hard it is. But if you really take a step back and look, you'll notice God is good and worth praising, because in him we do have a life that's more better and more light and more good than anything else. The psalmist continues on and he says this. Now, had some time to put it into perspective. Now he's actually looking back. Okay, how did we even get there? What happened? How did I end up in the valley in the first place? And we have these verses here. When verse 6 and 7 I'm reading. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Lord, when you favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. He's looking back. How did he get there? Well, honestly, it was his fault. He was looking around. He said, I got this. I'm okay. I'm secure. I'm doing great. And I don't know if you've ever had that experience in your life where it's when you finally feel like, okay, I finally figured things out. That could sometimes be things went wrong. That's what happened here. I have a friend who one day, he was driving and his car battery died or whatever. He needed a jump start. And a friendly passerby came, pulled to the side and said, I got this. Grabbed the alligator clips, turned it on, kaboom. Did not know where to put it at all. They were very confident in their ability to help out, but absolutely useless, a lot more than useless. My friend did not have a car for a little bit because of that. One of the best ways to get in trouble is to say, I got this, when you don't. Because we don't. The world's a big place. And if you don't know what to do, it's always better to say that than to confidently pretend you can do it. But how often do we do that? We say, we got this, we go to the car battery, and we jump it. I find the image I was coming back to again, that's for this, is we kind of live like Wile E. Coyote sometime, where we think our next Acme contraption is what's going to get the Roadrunner. And then the more we go into what we think is going to work, it just falls apart, right? As soon as he comes by, oh, my big plan, as soon as it hits the pavement and the Roadrunner runs through, something goes wrong and you end up with a boulder like crashing on your head, right? But that's what we do. We try again and again, and when we forget God, we just double down, and we say, no, if I try harder, if I do more, if I rely more and more on me and the things I have confidence in, it will get better, but if that's a recipe, we don't. It's like when you're lost and you're not willing to ask for directions. The longer you go, the worse it's going to get. And the author is looking and he's saying, okay, why did I even get there in the first place? I put myself there. I said, I got this. I'm secure. I, on my own, have everything under control. And it turns out the author didn't. There's a bit of a discussion over who the author is or what he went through. It says it's a Psalm of David, but it also says it's for the dedication of the temple. So some people would say that's David bringing the house of God to Shiloh or to Tabernacle outside Jerusalem. Some would say it's a later psalm actually for the dedication of the temple. It's a little ambiguous, but whatever happened, we know the author went through a lot. The language isn't, I lost my keys. The language is, I went down into hell. And they're looking back and said, how did I get there? Well, I kind of jumped in the pit myself. I thought it was going to save me, but really, I just got stuck. But this is actually good news because we have a way out. There's a story that I always appreciate of Peter and Jesus. Peter is really good of saying he's got this with the whole car thing, right? He's that kind of person. And one of the pictures we have of that is Peter walking on water, where he sees Jesus walking, there's a storm, and he jumps right in, eyes on Jesus, says, I'm going to do this too. And he's walking on water. It's great. But as soon as he takes his eyes off Jesus, it's not. And as soon as his confidence in Jesus wavers and he looks away, everything goes to chaos. But the good news is Jesus is right there and he's able to pick him up. So even if, like Peter, you like throwing yourself off a boat, you like making promises bigger than you can actually follow through on, you like jumping in 2 feet first into something you have no ability to do, and you end up falling broken in a pit, God can get you out. So now we've been going through this journey through the valley, how he got here. How did he get out? He's looking back and he writes this. To you, Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. What is gained if I am silenced? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Be my help. What do you do if you're in the pit right now? How do you get out? It's simple and it's hard. Turn to Jesus. Say to God, I need help. That's it. I'm going to elaborate on it for a second, but really, if you're in a pit or you get there, everything else put aside, what do? Cry out for mercy. We have a God that loves us so much. You know, Jesus, he went on a cross. He had no need to do that. I'm sure he was quite comfortable in heaven, and yet he came down to earth where it's stinky and messy and difficult and things go wrong and everything went wrong, and yet he still came and said, I'm going to do it for you. And he did it. He went so far. He went sin and death itself, right? So wherever you are, no matter how deep you are, before we move into any sort of elaborations, I just want to say, if you're in a pit, if you get there, there's one way out, and it's Jesus. You might find someone to help out here and there, and you can turn to other people, and if you try really hard, you can make it seem better, but at the end of the day, if you never turn to Jesus, you're never going to get out of the pit. You're never going to have that vision that can actually get you through. And the world's promise that the good is the exception and the difficult is the rule, that will be your life without Jesus. Thankfully, we don't need to be there. We see him cry out, and God's response is this: you turned my wailing into dancing, you removed my sackcloth, and clothed me with joy. What a good picture. I'm just going to reread that because I think it speaks for itself. You turned my wailing into dancing, and you removed my sackcloth, and you clothed me with joy. We have such a good Father and Savior. He doesn't just help us out. He's transformative. He takes the hardest things, and he brings them into the best. Right now, if you didn't know, I think many of you do, but my wife is pregnant. It's exciting. She's due in December. And I've learned a lot about pregnancy watching. She learned a bit more. But one of the things I've learned that I think is fair to say is pregnancy's a lot. You go through a lot in pregnancy. I'm just watching and I'm exhausted, so I can't imagine what she's doing. There's pains, there's changes. You run to eight different fast food restaurants and only one of them works, and then you thought it worked and then it all comes back out. Like, it is miserable. It sucks. It's a lot. And yet, as difficult as it is, every pain, every bit of fatigue, every difficulty that comes out of that is what's building our child, keeping our child safe, nurturing them, the strong reaction to all the foods. It's actually protecting the baby and making sure nothing harmful gets in. The fatigue is happening because all this energy is going into our baby. And the suffering is literally making our baby and making a child that is able to thrive and live and have this life. What a beautiful thing. All these pain, her body is, she's doing the work. I just want to make that clear. Her body is making into something that is one of the most amazing miracles that's ever happened to me, is I get to be a father. I get to be a dad. That's so exciting. That's what God does for us. We go through these pains. We go through these sorrows. We go through these difficulties, and they reach deep sometimes. And yet when we follow God, we have this miraculous vision where all the hard things, all the difficulty, all the pits end with us, with Jesus, and end with praise, and end with joy. I know personally for me, one of the stories that's always stood out really deeply for me, it really came up when I was in middle school. I don't know about you guys, but middle school for me was a rough time. It was a lot. You go through a lot of changes, and I really struggled in those ages. By grade 10, I felt I was able to get some confidence, but really grade 7, 8, 9 were just challenging for me. And a lot of times I ran to my room, and when I read the story of Paul and Silas in prison, that always stuck with me, of them going down there in Philippi, and they're arrested, they're persecuted, they're thrown in jail for preaching God's word. And their response was to start singing. They start praising God, and that just always captivated me. And I can't tell you the amount of times that I would go and run to my room and cling to my Bible, just bawling, because being a middle schooler is a lot. And I'd start reading, and those tears of sorrow would end with me crying out to God and saying, God, you're so good. I love you. God, I can't believe I get to live this life with you. And whoops. This is an amazing thing that when you take things to God, he is able to turn them to joy. It might take a day, it might take a lifetime, but God will do it. And if your sorrows, one of the best things you can do is praise. Praise God, because no matter where we are, God is worth praising. And so that's where it ends. You turn my wailing into dancing. You remove my sackcloth and clothe me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord my God, I will praise you forever. Praise God. If you hear, I guarantee you've been in a pit at some point. And some of you, those pits are much deeper than I can even imagine. And God has brought you here. And he will bring you to him one day and to be free of all the darkness. What can we do sometimes but praise God? So to end, I'm going to kind of give you guys two options, okay? You have a choice, but I'm going to give you guys something to do, okay? We all have valleys in our life. And like Christian on his journey, we're all somewhere on there, right? Maybe we're in a good spot. We have some really good companions with us. We're in a place where we're just at home and it is good. Maybe we're kind of been wandering off in the wrong direction for a bit. Maybe we're trudging through a slough of despond, which is the old English, a swamp of despair. Maybe we're climbing up a mountain of difficulty, or maybe we've just come out of that. But wherever you are, These two things are things you can do. And the first one is this. This especially is if you're more on the dark side of things. You're climbing up a mountain. You're going through the valley. The first thing you can do is pray. Cry out. Praise is a good thing, but honestly, sometimes you're just not there. All you can do is say help. And so if you're not at that point right now, if things are difficult, you can't see the light, ask for it. Cry out, God, help me. Because he does listen. The second thing is if you're not in the pit and you're able to see the light, great. Praise God. Praise him. Both because it's good and also it does reframe everything. And if you just go on and you forget what God does and you don't take any time to acknowledge, you're going to start to say you got this and then right back in the same spot. But if you take some time and praise God, it sets you up to be looking at things at God. And God is so good. He's so worthy of praise. So I'm going to give you guys a minute to reflect, or say a literal minute, okay? And I invite you, wherever you are, close your eyes and take some time. And depending on where you are, praise God or pray. Say, God, help, or God, you are good. And I'm just going to give you the space to do that, and I'll call us back together in a minute. You guys can go ahead. Give you a second to finish up if you need it. All right. I know for me, I can always use more of both. It's been this year I've had some really great news and some really hard news, right? I got married. I'm going to have a son or a daughter. I actually don't know the gender, so please don't read into that yet. I'm going to find out on Tuesday. That would have been a terrible way to let you guys know. But good news, right? Praise God. It is good. Also been a lot. Like multiple job losses on Robin's side. Some real big disappointments with school. Lost my cousin who was, you know, it sucks. I had my own little heart surgery. But wherever I am, God is worthy of praise. And I can cry to him for help. That's why I'm here. That's why I can stand. That's why I can say God is good, because he has been good and he will be. And we can't always see that end, that city at the end that makes it all right, but we can know what's there. So I'm going to end in prayer. As I'm praying, I invite the team to come up to close us in worship. And guys, God is good. Praise him. He has done so much. His grace abounds. Hallelujah and amen. Dear God, I thank you for your grace that no matter where we are, we can turn and we can cry. And I pray for all of us here that are in the pit, save us. God, your grace is so good. And I know all of us here has a testimony and a story where you have been there. And if we knew the actual places you've been there that we hadn't seen, that story would be endless. But God, I know in full confidence that you are good. May we be a people that praise you and honor you, that remember your grace and your mercy, that proclaim this to the world. As we go into our week, it's easy to forget may I remember you. And when we go through hardship, we ask for help. And when we see your grace, we take a second and we stop and we praise you and we speak with you, because what a good God you are.
Yeah, that's right.
I pray this in your name. Amen.